Welcome to another episode of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Network Sports Feed. I am your host, Ravishing Ronell Tinsley. With me, as always, the six-man tag team champion of podcast land, Sammy the Shooter Howe, Chief Keith Fleming. My good brothers, how are we doing today?
I am really good. I'm enjoying it's in the 70s here in LA.
Oh, screw you.
You're just going to keep rubbing that in like every episode, aren't you?
It's going to be winter at some point, and probably in the next month or so, where I'm going to be like,
you're saying winter is coming?
Bro, listen, we got 2 feet of snow dumped on us earlier this week. We've got another winter storm slated to roll through tomorrow into Monday. So I may actually be forced to be stuck in the house for the Super Bowl rather than. I opted to not go anywhere.
At least, no, I don't know. Keith, wow.
I'm cranky. I told you, I'm cranky. I haven't got a lot of sleep.
Keith and I have Freaky Friday'd, and now I'm the nice laid back one, and Keith is the cranky sour one.
Oh, it should make for an interesting episode, then.
I'll be sure to talk about Cesaro and Daniel Bryan for 10 minutes.
Hey, man.
All right. So I think we'll just roll right into it and go off the top rope. With it being Black History Month and a very fun time in the all of the IB entertainment groups. And let me not turn this into a joke because it's not. I did want to send a quick rest in peace to Butch Reed. Butch Reed is a wrestler more known for his Georgia NWA times. He spent a short spell in the WWF under the Natural. For me, the highlight was seeing him tag teaming with Ron Simmons as the tag team Doom. They were
Teddy Long as their manager.
And Teddy Long as their manager. That's right. I remember
they won the tag titles a couple of times. I have the figures. Yeah.
I remember my brother Mavar and I were so thrilled when we figured out who was under the masks. And then eventually they lost to the Steiners like 3 months later where they had to get unmasked. And it was nice knowing that they were right. Guys, any quick thoughts on Butch Reed?
I always thought that the Doom was what I remember him for.
That's what we're talking about. That's with Simmons.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. And they just worked really well together. I always, the Steiner brothers obviously were a great tag team, but I always thought they worked best with teams that were really, sort of laying it in with them. And I thought that Butch Reed and Ron Simmons as Doom, probably the highlight was Capital Combat, which is mostly remembered for RoboCop in 1990 showing up to help Sting. But that match between the Steiners and Doom is really good.
I feel bad saying this because obviously, RIP Butch Reed, but it's really made me think about Ron Simmons a lot. And just, if you were ranking the most underrated and misused wrestlers of all time, you kind of forget how long, he had the APA run. He obviously had the short title run. I almost kind of forgot about Doom until basically they, unfortunately Butch passed away. And reading and stuff, and I'm like, oh yeah, they were. And I showed you guys all the figures. I kept all of them from like the 80s and 90s, and I had both of them back then. I remember them wearing the almost like jean pants to start, and they went in the black. They started with a female
woman.
That's who it was. I knew it was, and then they went to Teddy eventually. But definitely RIP, and again, we were talking just a few months ago, and it's almost like we jinxed it, how it seems like wrestlers are living longer. And then lately, a lot of these wrestlers, again, are in their, 67. As somebody who's getting older every year, it doesn't seem so old. Like 10 years ago, that seemed ancient. But when you're in your late 30s, almost in your 40s, that just 67 seems so young. So obviously sending the best to his family and stuff.
And to piggyback off of with the Ron Simmons thing, just quickly, two thoughts. One, completely unrelated to Doom, but it does kind of make me sad that Nancy Benoit is really just remembered now sort of as a footnote on the Benoit murder suicide, because she was such an important female presence in wrestling. She was huge with the Kevin Sullivan Army of Darkness in the Florida territory. She was huge in ECW. She was a great manager. She's a great character. And I would love to see her get inducted. It just never happened, but I would love to see her get inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame. Like Keith, my thought was, you know, unfortunately for Butch, was that of Ron Simmons, but it reminded me of how it's somewhat the difference between how black wrestlers in WCW and black wrestlers in WWF, WWE are treated, because you know, when he was in WWF, Butch Reed, they bleached his hair and called him the natural. Like, get it? He's blonde, and is that not natural? And whereas in WCW, in NWA, like, he was a fucking killing machine. Like, Doom was a badass tag team. They beat the Steiners, who almost never lost. And I think it speaks to sort of the WWE is thankfully getting better, but a lot of the travails historically of how black wrestlers in the WWF were treated and WWE.
Well stated, my friend. So second on the docket, I wanted to discuss Kenta showing up on AEW Dynamite on this past Wednesday. It was actually quite the surprise. It got a lot of heat online. You know, of course, WWE marks frowned upon it, which, you know, is what it is. I thought it was quite exciting with him attacking Jon Moxley. This past week, we saw wrestlers on AEW from NWA, from TNA, and now New Japan Wrestling. Guys, we started talking about the possibility of this happening, and it's coming to fruition. How excited about this are you?
We don't get many legitimate surprises in the world of wrestling anymore. And I, you know, sort of was offline, so I missed the spoilers. And when I saw Kenta show up, I legitimately audibly like gasped. And he's not who he was, you know, in 05, but who, you know, 15 years ago, injuries have caught up with him, but he's still really good. And the idea of, if we're going to do a New Japan AEW crossover, I'm really excited for it. I mean, that's what we're coming for. I'm super excited. No offense to Impact Wrestling, but if we're going to do AEW New Japan, I am 100 times more geeked for that. That is, just as somebody who is a internet dork wrestling fan, that is sort of my nirvana. And getting to see, you know, Kenta and Moxley, I mean, if we could get, there's a lot of really, like, I would love to see Okada get a chance to come out. Okada, if they wanted to do something with the history between, I'm blanking on who, Kenny, the Golden Lovers, Kenny's tag team. But there is a lot of...
Osprey?
No. I'm not an Osprey fan, actually. I was thinking of Kota Ibushi. If like we get to you know, sort of see Kota Ibushi, who did like... Yeah, there's a lot of potential there. And, you know, I think it's if we're going to do that, like, hell yeah. Like, let's do it. Like, I'm down. I'm up country music.
I mean, I'm excited. They just need to be careful. Like, they need to be careful. We saw with the Invasion storyline how that got everybody excited, and then it didn't turn out what we thought it would be. I'm surprised they're introducing this now, because I find it hard to believe that a lot of New Japan guys are going to be able to come back and forth into the States and travel with COVID restrictions and everything. And, you know, again, it's also, I'm not trying to poo-poo on it, but I just like, they do need to be careful, because just there was a segment on AEW Wednesday that reminded me a lot of something WWE would do. I mean, a lot. And I just hope they don't, because this is something WWE does a lot of times where it's like, you need to make sure you know what you're doing before you do something like this. And I hope they have a plan and they know where they're going. It may just be a one-off where it's for the time being where they're promoting obviously his match with Moxley, which that makes sense. And the other thing too, I didn't understand. Did y'all see his promo after the show, which absolutely should have been included on it? Like, absolutely. So he basically got, Kenta basically said, I'm not here to be Kenny Omega's friend. I'm not here for AEW. I'm here to kick John Moxley's ass. And I mean, like, okay, perfect.
Cool. So,
but it's like, include that. Like, why would you say that off air? It's like some of the stuff that's going on WWE right now on Talking Smack or Talking Raw, like afterwards. It's like, it's great. And it's like, come on, put it in the show. So I am very excited about it. It's awesome. I mean, anything where we can get, you know, all these different promotions coming together. And I'd like to know what the agreement is. Like, I don't know why that's being kept secret. That makes me think that they're still working on it. Obviously, if they have an interpromotional deal, I mean, it's a business, right? Like, who's going to go over more? Which, you know, is it going to be New Japan that's going to win more? Is it going to be AEW? Like, that's the kind of stuff that's going to get involved. And I'm very excited about it, but I am hesitant that, like, I just hope they know what they're doing, because there was such a big reaction to this. And if it's just, say, a few people from New Japan and it's not all the big names that Sam just, you know, mentioned, it's going to feel a lot like, you know, the whole Alliance WWE thing in 2000 or 2001, whatever year was. And, you know, everybody was so disappointed for.
Well, I will say that I know that they're building towards the New Beginning USA show that New Japan is doing. There's one of those in the back of your brain. I know that there was a deal where, like, AEW had a thing where Moxley could wrestle in Japan but couldn't wrestle on shows that would be shown in the US. And I wonder if there's that they've lifted that and they're just going to do it so that they can have Moxley, you know, that it's sort of, the agreement was, we'll let him wrestle on your USA show, but you need him to wrestle on, you know, you need to allow Kenta to show up on our show.
It was a moment for sure, though. Like, it was absolutely a moment. Like, a big.
I love the fact that they set it up that it seems that we may even get an IWGP US Championship match on AEW, which I'd be down for. And also, you can see the huge influx on the women's side with them, with their number one contenders tournament that they got set up. I mean, they have the whole side dedicated to the Japanese stars, and I'm excited, just, you know, in influx of new talent to the women's division.
Well, the one thing that's kind of funny to me, and I know it's COVID, but I had forgotten, honestly, that Moxley was the New Japan US champion. I mean, it's been that way since January 4th of 2020, and he's defended the belt twice. So
in normal cases, you would have been stripped.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little bit, you know, I'm not going to, obviously, you know, it's not a title that has been defended a huge amount. You know, Kenny Omega was champ for 210 days and defended it four times. So, but that, and he was the most, but it's still, you know, this is actually Moxley's second title reign. He won in June of 2019. And then couldn't defend it because of travel issues. And ironically, in 2019, lost it to Lance Archer, you know, now obviously in New Japan, in AEW.
Is he?
Yeah.
No, I'm joking, because they've done nothing with him and he's like a joke, but go ahead. It was a joke. Sorry. I'm being Sam today, remember?
Not really. Usually that's salty.
I'm salty because I actually saw Lance. He was one of the first people I saw on New Japan, like on, I forget, it's TV One or whatever it is. And I was like, man, this guy's a monster. And then he came in the AEW and I kind of got excited, just like I did with Miro and with both of them. Like, it's like, it's pretty bad. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. But I mean, I'm with Ronald. I mean, if this is just for the U.S. title, and if they just want to get the U.S. title off of Moxley, I mean, from my understanding is that Japan is much further along on COVID than we are. You know, their shows. I mean, I know it's hard to believe that anybody would be, but they are like back to, I don't know if they're back to full capacity. Like, I know there's a whole thing where like they can't cheer, but like they're pretty far along. And if they want to have a U.S. champion, because like Keith said, you know, I have a hard time believing that AEW is going to allow one of their top stars to go over to Japan, because he's going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks, both sides. So basically you're at least a month on top of however long he would be there. So I just have a hard time with it.
Right on, right on. So before we go into our superlatives, I also wanted to touch on the Royal Rumble real quickly. Big shout out to El Presidente RC and the Chief for doing an immediate recap show. I jokingly used a clip from last week for the IB group. And I, for those of you who are listeners and you're joining the IB sports group, just get the show. It's fun, and this is a great time of, this is a great time of year, as long as you get the show. But anyway, let's just talk about, was there anything that was really surprising to you that came out of the Royal Rumble, whether it be any of the results, some of the skirmishes that happened during the two Royal Rumble matches, or anything like that?
Like a surprise coming out of it, or just from it?
From it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to also include after it, because I can't believe that Bad Bunny has four different shirts on WWE.com right now that are sold out. So God. I guess I need to shut the hell up about, like, what the fuck are they doing with this guy? Because he's probably printing money for him. I don't get it, but whatever.
Yeah, from what I've heard, this dude's apparently that like one of the biggest non-English speaking stars on the planet right now.
Good for him. The loser to me is The Miz. He wasn't involved in, you know, the Drew Goldberg, even just a tease, which was surprising with the buildup, especially the last Monday Night Raw. Honestly, Bayley is a loser as well. She gets eliminated fairly early, granted, by Bianca Belair off camera, which is just like
that was awful.
Unforgettable. Like, I don't understand. Like, I mean, it's unforgivable. Like, I don't understand how the MVP of 2020 can get eliminated in one of the biggest matches of the year, and you ain't got it on camera.
Especially based off of the entire story as it's played out this past week.
Exactly. In a lot of ways. Other than that, both Rumbles were great. I mean, I thought they both were great. The Owens-Reigns match, I think, like, man, you may have match of the year right there. Like, I absolutely loved that match.
And other than the ending.
You didn't like the ending?
Just the fact that, you know, Kevin had secured him so great that it wasn't an easy fix to get Roman uncuffed from under there.
Yeah, I mean, they do that, though, all the time. It happened. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I just, there were so many things about that I love. And I just can't believe that, like, the bumps KO takes. I mean, I went back and rewatched that match. That had to be close to, like, Hell in a Cell type fall onto that table. And I know that is set up, and I'm sure that they try to brace it as best as it could to where, you know, Mankind's falling onto a table with a concrete floor underneath it. But you're still got to be a crazy son of a bitch to take that kind of bump. I think I read he did end up getting injured the year before in the WrestleMania match for taking that bump off the top of the sign onto the table with Seth Rollins. I mean, he's really kind of became an underrated, like, daredevil in WWE. And I'm just happy for Edge. I'm happy for Bianca Belair. And most of all, and I mean, it's something that I was going to get into in the storylines, but, like, good for WWE. The best thing about wrestling right now is we don't know what's going to happen for the first time going into WrestleMania at this point, and I can't tell you how long. And, like, kudos to WWE for doing that, because it's making it exciting. I mean, normally – by what, like January, even before the Rumble, we kind of know, okay, either this guy or this guy is going to win the Rumble, and then these are the two male main events, or this girl or this girl is going to win the Rumble, and these two are going to be the main events. And right now, I don't have an idea who anybody is. Like, I don't think anybody truly knows. We have a guess. Like, we think maybe it's going to be like, you know, say you think it's Edge McIntyre or Edge Reigns, but you can make an argument for all of these, and it's great for wrestling. It's great for the business. Great show. I really enjoyed it.
I did as well. The Goldberg McIntyre match, I was really pleased with in terms of, you know, we talked about, like, you have to wait and see before. Like, I thought that a lot of people, and this is why you should not, you know, not always complain immediately. I thought that bringing Goldberg in was yet another, you know, if Drew beats Edge at Mania, which is I'm hoping I'm trying to will that into existence that we get Edge and Drew. Then that his year will have included beating Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, Goldberg, and Edge. I mean, that's
don't forget how about the Big Show, Sam. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the secret level at the end of the secret boss fight at the end of but I mean, no, that's actually, you know, that was, you know, he's beaten all of these guys.
And Bobby Lashley, I mean, Lashley's not quite on the other guy's level, but.
But I mean, that was sort of what, but like Drew McIntyre before the Royal Rumble last year was probably at a level, I would say, of a guy like Bobby Lashley.
Does it remind you of Cena after WrestleMania 21? Because it does to me. Remember, Cena won the title at 21. And then over like the next year and a half to 2 years, he beat everybody, including HBK and Triple H at back-to-back Manias.
I'm actually going to be, and this.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean making him a star.
I agree.
It's defining.
This feels a bit more organic. The thing with Cena, the worst thing that the WWE can do is when you can see the hand giving the push. And this feels very organic. I mean, this feels like a guy who had his moment and got a huge, you know, got some heat from the Rumble, and they really went through with it. It felt like sort of what I wish they had done with Kofi, where, you know, that instead of showing Kofi as somebody that they valued and saw as important, the second that Brock Lesnar came back, the logo isn't even off the screen, and Brock Lesnar, because he's not on Kofi's level.
Whereas, to be fair, though, McIntyre was already a big deal. I mean, like, and what I mean is they already had plans for this to be McIntyre a decade ago. It didn't work. He came back even bigger and better. So it's not that surprising that they are making this kind of push with him because, I mean, he literally was the chosen one in his first gimmick.
Correct. But how many guys in WWE history have we watched? Cena, Reigns, Luger, all of these guys who WWE had a vision of, this is going to be our guy. This is going to be the guy that is going to carry us. And the fans just gone, no, that's not who we want. And I feel like McIntyre is a great example of somebody who actually did that. I was obviously, from a Mark standpoint, disappointed that Daniel Bryan didn't win the Rumble, just because I feel like that's the last thing he has to accomplish in the WWE.
You shouldn't want him to win it, because that means he'll have no reason to stay.
I mean, I would like him to go wrestle in.
You can't have it all, Sam.
With Daniel Bryan, I should be able.
Rolling to. Stones, you can't always get what you want, buddy.
But I would have. I thought that I was all ready to be kind of, you know, rolled eyes, dismissive, wanking motion, and the fact that I actually texted Keith, and I was like, I think Ronald, I think I texted you as well, where I was like, if Orton wins, I'm going to be homicidal. And the fact that he came in, I was like, motherfucker.
That was a great swerve. And it really was.
I thought that it was a really great booking to get people who might not have been happy that another guy who was sort of a popular during the Attitude Era, popular during the Ruthless Aggression Era, getting a push over other people, having him, you know, really putting something like, you don't want him to win. Well, how would you feel about Randy Orton?
It's like, well, they've learned this, though. If you notice, Reigns has been the runner-up numerous times lately in the Rumble, because we know how WWE pushed Roman Reigns, how fans felt about him. And with Reigns not there, I thought it was great, to your point, that like they used Randy Orton in that position, who would have got a very similar reaction.
Yeah, and I thought that it was very well done. I'm excited for Bianca Belair. I thought that it was about as well booked. I've been honest about that. It's been hard for me with no crowds and with the, you know, I think the Thunderdome is as good as it's going to get. I feel like what AEW does is as good as it's going to get without a crowd. I think there are definite pluses to having no crowd. I think that Roman would not have been able to get over the way that he has, because he's been able to do a different kind of character without having to deal with, you know, and I know we all think that the fans would cheer him, and I would,
you know. You don't have to say we all think. I think that for sure.
I thought Ronell had indicated, but I.
I did.
Okay. Well, then me and Ronell think that.
While I think that's a possibility, I also worry about, like, fucking, I hate the what chant so much. And it just, I think that the allowance of not having, I don't think that the positive of not having fans of things like that outweighs the negative, which is that it's hard to feel that it has that epic feeling. And I think I've gone on record that I really loathe the WWE doing those "this is awesome" chants. It seems so.
Thank you to RC for also mentioning that, because you can't fake that. You just can't.
Actually, you can, and they do. But I mean, yeah. I understand what you're saying. But
it's so self-aggrandizing.
It is, but all of it is. I mean, having people cheer, boo, like, I mean, it's fake. It's all fake.
Hell, they even pump in the New Day rocks with exactly. New Day and the Big E's matches.
I think they basically just take past. Like, I swear sometimes they just copy and paste, like, you know, noise from previous matches. Because there's times, like, I can't even hear what people are saying during promos because it's so loud. And I'm like, well, this is kind of pointless. It's like the whole advantage of this is you can actually hear people in their promos.
So I've said this for a while, and this goes back to the Bianca Belair, Bayley elimination. If Kevin Dunn is the one who creates the, you know, I know that he's, like, the director, executive producer of the WWE, but if he's the guy who creates like the Yokozuna icon and like those video packages, then yeah, Kevin Dunn, I will take the problems with, you know, the main show. But if he is not responsible for those and it is a completely different department from the main show,
get rid of his ass.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen, like, because it's something, this is not a new phenomenon of him, you know, things like missing Bayley and that sort of thing, that elimination. But it's a new phenomenon related to how long he's been working for the company. I mean, there was a point where their production was just always on point. And, like, you never would have had that happen. And I feel like they've gotten a little sloppy on that regard. Now, again.
The live ones especially.
Oh, yeah.
Right. We're in agreement that, like, the stuff on the network is out of this world. All the tape, the you know, the backstage, the Yokozuna thing, if you have not watched, is so great. I'm so excited about the next one. It's sad, but it's great. Programming, you know, the Undertaker thing, but they have gotten lazy on a lot of the live stuff, or they have more misses than I remember.
It's not even just the live stuff.
You think maybe there's less cameras? Like, maybe that could be a COVID.
I think that some of it is that, like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, when they first started with the COVID stuff, with the empty arena stuff, they were doing like a million cuts.
Well, that's fair. No, you're right.
A headache. And they do a lot of stuff that I think is done to just, again, like a little bit inside baseball, but it's done to set a mood. And like you would see it somewhat with the Shield, where there would be people, you know, like there'd be these quick cuts and the camera would be shaky to give you the feeling that it was very, you know, frenetic, but they do it too much. And it honestly, like, I think they could lay back a little bit and not be so self-conscious about it.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I absolutely love the Royal Rumble. It was a great card, top to bottom. They did a great job with a bunch of stories inside of each, both men and women's Rumbles. They didn't overdo it on the Legends, which I imagine, you know, COVID had something to do with it, but some amazing moments, like you guys mentioned on the recap show. The Team Hell No and the Edge and Christian moment, man. I for real got choked up for a second.
How about I called that too about 20 minutes before it happened?
I have to be honest with you, I really like Christian as the best side effect of the blurring of the lines on kayfabe is that I legitimately like Christian and Edge as people. I'm glad to see good things happen to them. What do you guys think of Carlito coming back?
He looked amazing.
I know that they had wanted him back for a while. My understanding is that he'd had a bit of substance abuse issues.
He's on a tryout right now. They say he's on a 3-week tryout.
So if he is, you know, for his sake, I would love to see him. You know, he was never my favorite guy when he was there, but as sort of like a mid-card hand. You know,
absolutely.
That was another winner I do want to mention. Corey Graves was on fire on the commentary at the Rumble. He made the joke about Carlito, saying that other newer stars are going to be asking him about his workout routine. I mean, it was one of his better performances I've seen in a while. And I think he's really starting to, because, you know, everybody loved him in the beginning, and then he kind of lost his way, it seemed like, for a little bit. And I think he's got back to that, like, character that he should be, you know, when he's announcing.
There's a really, and I'm glad that you brought up the announcing, because it reminded me of something, was that Michael Cole at one point mentioned that both Giant Gonzalez and
that was another one of his funny jokes.
Yeah, like, I don't remember the Royal Rumble, but I remember the rest.
Remember the main event, yeah.
But he mentioned, Michael Cole mentioned that, like, Giant Gonzalez, I can't remember who else had a birthday on the same day. And Samoa Joe was like, oh, man, a lot of guys having birthdays today. Like, it was like a joke. And Michael Cole, like, really, like, was like, it's called being a journalist, Joe. You should try. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was, like, really kind of, like, put off by that because, like, he wasn't talking about you. He was just, like, chill out. Like, it really felt like an overreaction. Like, I didn't know what that was, but, like, we get those.
I didn't know it was being a journalist either to know people's birthdays. I mean, Facebook can tell you that. I mean, yeah. Facebook journalism, you know.
Like, congrats. You're on Wikipedia earlier, Michael. I'm very proud of you. But, yeah, like, that was, like, that, and that was sort of what made Corey Graves go down. It was, like, watching him bicker with Alexa Bliss and just, like, it's like watching that, like, couple that should actually break up, and you're just like, oh, yeah, I guess. Like, please stop. Just, like, just stop. And so, yeah, no, I'm excited by it.
Back to Carlito for a second. I'm just upset that it's COVID times and we couldn't get what we really wanted, was him spitting the apple on someone. So I was like, yo, why no apple? Oh,
right. That's a funny thing. I didn't even catch that until now. I was like, oh. Pretty sneaky, WWE.
Yeah, so I thought that was really, really awesome. Well, considering that we were just talking about a bunch of the story. Oh, before we do get into the superlatives, were you guys excited about the little bit of time that Daniel Bryan and Riddle locked it up? Because they looked like if those two got into a match, those two would put on one hell of a performance.
I'd pay to see. I mean, Daniel Bryan versus pretty much any of the young guys that I think can go in the ring. I mean, not to sound like Sam, but I obviously would love to see it. Yeah, of course. I think their styles would match well, too.
It's just, yeah. I saw that, and I was just like, oh, man, that would just.
He would make Riddle look like $1 million.
Yeah. The grappling they were doing there, I'm like, oh, my God, can you imagine 20 minutes of this? That would be freaking amazing.
And how about Matt Riddle's social media game? You saw it, right? I keep forgetting the big guy's name that looks like Brock Lesnar. And Riddle tweeted a picture of him. He said, he may look like Brock Lesnar, but maybe he's not too big of a pussy to wrestle me. So,
yikes.
Well, Riddle is like, damn, Riddle,
you really
can.
Do want to get beat up.
He does. And that's the worst part of that. If it actually happens, Brock's not going to take it easy on him at all. But we discussed a bunch of things that we had absolutely loved about the Rumble. And so I figured with the superlatives, why don't we start with the storyline you should be paying attention to? And I'm pretty much sure we're all in agreement. But Sammy, why don't you start us off?
So the storyline, I'm going with the main event of WrestleMania.
Still mine, Sam, you asshole.
I thought that we don't know who it's going to be. I mean, my like platonic, like my like best case scenario is that we get Edge and McIntyre on Saturday night, and then we get Roman, Daniel Bryan, Rollins on Sunday night.
They taught me on another podcast, and I wouldn't be mad with Edge versus Finn Balor.
I wouldn't either. That's true. I'd be fine.
I'm just saying they can't go wrong. Yeah, I mean, like at this point, you really can't go wrong, and it's preference kind of who you want.
Well, and why not, considering they did put the women's NXT championship on Mania, why not put the men's on there?
That's exactly what they were bringing. Yep, same thing. And it would continue to bring, you know, a big stage to NXT. And I mean, even if they lose, it still brings up the brand and everything. The Belair Banks, is that definitely happening? Does everybody think that's definitely the match, or are we going to get a swerve there?
I would be legitimately shocked if that wasn't the match.
Face-face?
I feel like we're going to want... I feel like Bianca is coming close to turning heel.
What? No way. Come on. You really think they turn Bianca heel?
With the Profits staying face.
And that promo she gave after, she, that would be some weird booking.
I honestly think it would make more sense with Sasha as a heel, like you guys were talking about.
Yeah, because she's intimidating. You know, she's worried somebody can actually beat her, and then you know, you get evil Sasha out. I mean, I'd be okay if they went face versus face. I'm just curious. Like, you know, you think there's any chance it could be Asuka? Because I'd actually love to see Bianca versus Asuka.
That would be a great match. The one that I would say about Sasha, I could also see them doing a sort of what they did with Bayley, Sasha. No.
Oh, okay.
I would actually say with when they wrestled in 2015, where Sasha's not a hard heel, but she's a face with an edge.
Right.
But I also think that I could see Sasha going heel. I have a hard time. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Asuka. I feel like we're getting Charlotte. I feel like they're just teasing. Like, they're putting Charlotte with
Lacey Evans.
Yeah, thank you. And they're going to do that. And then they're eventually going to do, like, it's just going to be, like, Asuka, Charlotte at Mania. Like, I feel like I'm still.
The thing that sinks to me about that is, like, right now, out of all of the championships in WWE, the Raw Women's Championship is the most, like, also ran championship right now.
Well, women's tag titles aren't much better.
That's only a half a rung up.
Yeah, I mean, but at least they were defended on the Royal Rumble.
I mean, they were, but I mean, I hated that was the one match I hated the way it was booked. I mean, it just, to me, like, they didn't really put any dissension between Charlotte and Asuka. You know, Ric Flair and Lacey Evans were the center point of how Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler won the belts. When it's like, I mean, those four, I was really excited about that match. I love all, you know, four of those stars. I do like Shayna and Nia, and I hope they have, you know, whether it be the Riot Squad or whoever, a team that they can put over at Mania. But anyway, I'm also main events of Mania. Edge going on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday was brilliant. Absolutely. And it's again why I told people, immediately after, like, if you're mad about Edge winning the Rumble, like, go fuck yourself. Like, for real. Like, the dude lost 10 years of his career. He would have been, I mean, he's still arguably one of the greats. But, I mean, imagine if he didn't have his neck, you know, the issues and stuff, and have to retire when he did. He was champion, which people forget. His run with Cena would have continued and morphed, which I'd have loved to seen how that went into the early 2000s. 2010s after. I think that may have been the rivalry of the 2000s. And it just, I mean, he's awesome. He proved on all three shows, he didn't even need the person in the ring to say anything, and he can put them over and make them look good. And I mean, he did it with Drew. He did it with the boys on NXT, and he did it on Friday. I mean, he's great. I love it. I'm excited. And I just want to reiterate, good for WWE for, and I don't know how it's been kept so much quieter than it has in years past, but they haven't given away their hand. It hasn't been spoiled. It hasn't been, you know, everywhere, this is the Mania match. And I love it because it's giving us something to think about, talk about, et cetera.
I honestly really can't not agree with you. We've got so much to be excited about in terms of these main events. I mean, you guys just discussed the women's. No matter how this turns out, we've got a pretty explosive one. We still have a couple of tricks up the sleeve, because surprisingly enough, we didn't get a Fiend sighting at the Rumble. So they are really slow burning this, which I am actually pretty excited about. So you don't know if they're going to let that
Elimination Chamber kind of makes sense, though. If Orton's in an Elimination Chamber match, it really does make sense if that's when he comes back. Like, that to me fits the Fiend.
And then, you know, they can set up whatever program they're going to go into Mania. So, quite honestly, like, they've got it really set up right now fantastically. Wrestler on the Rise, I'm going to go first just so that I can gloat for once. My man Damian Priest, I've been saying for a little bit now that I think out of most of the NXT stars that are currently on the roster that he was the most ready for prime time. And apparently some people agree with me, because he had a phenomenal showing at the Rumble. And to me, when they let him be the one to eliminate Kane, and then Monday night getting a big victory over the Miz, which, you know, Miz is going on a losing streak, as he does when he has the briefcase. But I just, I'm so happy for Damian Priest and what's going to happen. It looks like he's likely going to be one of the intermediaries with this Bad Bunny thing. And I'm going to have to wrap my mind around and accept the Bad Bunny part. But Damian Priest, Chief, who you got?
I got Britt Baker. I thought her match on Wednesday was maybe the best match I've seen her have in the ring. And not to mention just a really big win. And I hope we're getting to a Britt Baker title push, because she deserves it. I no offense to the rest of the women on the roster. She's, in my opinion, the total package. The closest thing they have to a Bayley, Sasha, Becky, where, you know, she's great in the ring. She's got a great character. She can talk. And I really think 2021 is going to be a big year for her, and it should be. And she really did. She was very, very impressive in that match. And I'd seen her wrestle, you know, good matches, but that was the first match that, I mean, I really was blown away by how good she was in it.
I went with Bianca Belair. I thought that she was somebody who really tore it up in NXT. And I never felt like she got the opportunity to shine the way that some other women did. And I'm hoping that she gets a chance to take the title at Mania. This has been a good chance. You know, the only.
We're hoping they're copying McIntyre, right? On the women's side. Like what they did with McIntyre for the last year. What I mean is, in the sense that, like, let her have her Mania moment and spend the next year putting her over and making her, you know, the first woman to really be pushed like a four horsewoman.
Yeah. And I think that she just, you know, she's such an interesting character on top of being a great wrestler. I think the EST is a great gimmick. I'm just excited for her. I think she's done.
I'm sorry, RC. That's the one thing. The EST thing isn't new. You don't watch wrestling school.
I mean, he doesn't watch NXT, which he's.
That's what I just said.
You know, but she's done a great job. And I think that it's also the touching on Ron Ells. I think that I have decided and come to the conclusion that the best NXT gimmicks that will work on the main roster, the ones that are paradoxically the sort of the least fleshed out. I thought that Elias was going to be a huge failure on the WWE main roster, and he is amazing because his gimmick's very simple. I think the ones where the WWE, you know, Matt Riddle's another guy. I thought that Matt Riddle was going to be a huge deal in the WWE because he had a lot of things that Vince loves.
You're also describing three guys that are three of the bigger guys to come up out of those NXT dudes.
True. I mean, but Matt Riddle's the same size as Sami Zayn.
In what world?
They are technically the same weight. They both are 212.
Come on, bro. WWE maybe is saying they both weigh 212. Listed. They do not weigh the same. You know, there is no world that those two guys weigh the same.
Because when I was watching the Lashley match, I was like, wow, Lashley really has him by 60-something pounds? It doesn't look it.
I mean, Riddle was in the ring with all those big guys in the Rumble. He doesn't look like – every time Sami Zayn steps in the ring with anybody, he looks small. There's a difference. I mean, I know what you're saying, but, I mean, Riddle is jacked.
But it's also the women is that you know, I think that Bianca will benefit from that. And I think that the EST is something that, like, very easy to catch on with. So I'm excited.
You know, after this past week, I don't remember what it was that made me go off and wanted to start doing, like, research on Bianca. I remember, you know, when I had said a year ago on the recap show how she was one of those she was one of those gatekeepers right outside of the women's championship. And I just went back and looked. I didn't know that she also had an undefeated streak of a year in NXT. It was like I must have caught on like right after that had ended, because I had only started watching NXT maybe 2 years ago. But yeah, there was a 3-4 instances within a year span where she was either in the championship or had lost an opportunity to be there. So she was always just one of those gatekeepers, and I'm just so ecstatic for her.
Well, we hope so, because that's going to sound, it's going to be really bad if she loses at WrestleMania, because then it's going to be like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Because that was my point coming into this, is it's like, she should have won the belt in NXT for sure. And I don't know, you know, and I know RC made a good point that maybe this proves that being patient, not putting too much on somebody, but I don't know. I mean, she's so talented. I think you could have done this at any point and it would have caught on, even last year, you know, when she first got called up to Raw and they, you know, didn't use her for 3-4 months.
And you know, the funny thing is that we still haven't even seen her complete skill set on the main roster that we've seen from NXT.
I also think that she's one where, like, those, like, the day of, like, following her, you know, she sews her own ring gear. Like, I think there's a lot of stuff, like, she's...
And the Profits.
Yeah.
Her day of was probably my favorite one of all.
I'm going to have to watch this because, you know, everybody's just glaring.
She just comes off so genuine, like, yeah. Very, very, very genuine.
And I think that... I also think it's really cool that we could have a WrestleMania Women's Championship match that is
women of color.
Yeah, women of color high on the card, which is, if you want to look at one thing that WWE has been dog shit at for the entirety of its existence, it is prioritizing women of color. So it's easy to call them out and be critical, and it's very easy to be cynical about a corporation, but at the same time, like, it's good to see women of color getting a shot.
Yeah, kudos to WWE. Wrestler on the slide. Why don't you keep going, Shooter?
Mine is my favorite wrestler, probably still working of all time, Daniel Bryan, not winning the Rumble and then losing to Cesaro, which I get I actually kind of appreciate what Daniel Bryan is doing.
If he's going to be my face of the week for this reason.
If he is leaving, you know, if his contract is up after SummerSlam and his goal on the way out is just to make people cool, you know, it makes me sad. I mentioned to Keith, I've been watching this guy since I was buying videotapes from RF Video in 2002, watching Daniel Bryan wrestle, you know, low key and AJ Styles.
Freaking Yankees, RF Video.
Huh?
I just, Yankees, I've never even heard of RF Video. Go to a Blockbuster or a Hollywood Video, for God's sake.
No, bro, no, listen. I had a Blockbuster. Blockbuster was not the place to find the rare wrestling finds, at least not in my small city.
RF Video wasn't a video store. It was a website that sold wrestling stuff.
Ah.
So... there's a story there about, like, Rob Feinstein, who owned it, who got busted for trying to have sex with kids and had to sell Ring of Honor. There's a much larger story here. But, yeah, I mean, like, this is a guy who I've watched in Daniel Bryan Danielson wrestle. We're going to gloss over that. Watching Daniel Bryan Danielson wrestle.
Bring it up. You kill me.
2002 in the Murphy Rec Center, wrestling Loki and Christopher Daniels. And, you know, just to see him and have the privilege of getting to watch him and root for him, like, seeing him wind down makes me a little sad. And it was just sad to...
But remember, you want him to go wrestle elsewhere, and that means he's not retiring either way.
Well, he said he wants to be wrestling into his 70s.
That's what I'm saying. He will be nothing else. He'll be back with WWE as, you know, booking matches. I mean, I think of it, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to be in wrestling his entire life. He loves it.
And he's great at it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Totally. Chief, who you got for your wrestler on the slide?
Man, I gotta, you know, we try to be even here, and we have made this comment about other promotions. What the fuck are you doing, AEW? You got all these great tag teams that have done all this great shit all over the world. You talk about, oh, they're the greatest tag team in the world. And yet these fucking single guys just keep pairing up and winning. Huh? First, you got a run with fucking Hangman and Omega, and they're unbeatable because you just threw two people together, and now MJF and Jericho decide they're tag team partners, and they beat all these great tag teams too. So I don't want to hear shit about you have the greatest tag team wrestling in the world. You don't, obviously, because me and Sam could come in, and next thing you know, we're tag champs. Or me and Ronald, and next thing you know, we're tag champs.
Or so, at least we'll get a number one contender to
exactly.
Impact.
Exactly. I mean, it just, I'm just trying to be fair, because seriously, like, this is frustrating. They had all of these tag teams. We talked about this over a year ago being one of the things we were most excited about. They had the Hardys and, you know, they had, you know, Ortiz, and they had, I mean, there's all these great Jungle Boy. Like, I'm excited about a lot of these guys. And then yet they keep, you know, basically taking their singles guys that they have nothing to do with and kind of pushing them. So hopefully it leaves the Hardys beating MJF and Jericho, and it's just, they're speeding up their split. But I think the Bucks. But I think they're rushing that either way. Like, I really do.
And where the hell was FTR for this? Instead, they've got Marco Stunt chained to a chair in the back. Why don't you have one of your top three?
I didn't like the Hardys being in it either. That was weird to me. Like,
right. Were you guys going to challenge Gallows and Anderson?
What are y'all doing?
Let me tell you, and actually, Keith, just because I kind of want to, because I think that I don't have a problem with tagging together a pair of singles that you don't have anything for at the moment, because if you're going to do it long term, that's how we got the New Age Outlaws. I think that the issue becomes when you want to do a shortcut on a story, which is clearly what they want to do. They want to, and that's, you know, that's. So when it becomes a shorthand for, we're going to do this, we're going to, you know, we're going to have these singles guys be a tag team, then we're going to break them up. It's like, come on. Like, we've been watching that for the last 20 years and it's not done anything for tag team wrestling.
It's lazy booking.
Oh, who was my wrestler on the slide? I forgot who I put there that quickly. Oh yeah. Mine was Charlotte Flair for what Keith was speaking about earlier. Of all things, that just terrible booking, but like, what are they going to do? They're going to have her taking on, and I get if you want to build up Lacey Evans, but she's a lesser opponent. It's universal knowledge that Charlotte Flair is pretty much the best, not pretty much. Charlotte Flair is the best wrestler on female wrestler on the planet.
Flair did the promo that me and RC were begging for as usual on fucking the after show, but he basically said that, like, I'm not done with wrestling. I'm one of the greatest wrestlers ever. And people are out there saying my daughter, who doesn't know half of what I do already in her short career, you know, is already better than me. So if she doesn't appreciate what she has and the resource and the person, then I'm going to, you know, create somebody who isn't already a star and all this in their sense and give her all this and build her up. And it was literally exactly what we were talking about. And it was great. And it made so much sense. And as usual, what some AEW and WWE are doing a lot of is, it's like, that needs to be on the show. That is very good context.
That's it would the make stuff that story. We love.
Exactly. Like that's why they're fighting. And it's disappointing again that they didn't do it on there, because it's really, to me, that is very interesting. Like, and it makes sense. Like, you know, we know Ric Flair. I mean, it's got to be hard to be Flair, to get old, to not be wanted. And then your daughter is all of a sudden the greatest women's wrestler in the world.
And, you know, we always, you know, we're complaining a lot about Raw. Like, you guys, this is what you decide not to put on? Really? We're not? Oh, okay, cool.
And it's weird because, you know, RC had also touched on the use of like vignettes and, you know, backstage interviews, all that stuff to build characters. And, you know, people who don't watch NXT may not be as excited about Damian Priest as I am. Stuff like that with Rick absolutely needs to be in front of every single available eye, not something we have to go dig up on the internet. It's just
completely agree.
The stuff that we grew up on, and it doesn't make any sense to me. So face of the week, Keith, who do you got?
Now, just for the reason that Sam was saying, it's Daniel Bryan. And I mean, it's literally for what he's doing. I mean, he's putting all these guys over. It says everything you need to know about Daniel Bryan as a person, as a performer. It does worry me that he might be on his way out, but it also could be a swerve. And WWE has done this before. I would not be surprised if they have him losing and then he's going to go on this underdog role, like run. Because I still think he's going to fight Roman Reigns for Elise for sure. And if it's not going to be at Mania and his contract ends after SummerSlam, when do you think he's going to fight him? So it's going to be at SummerSlam. But I really do. I mean, this is twice, right? Cesaro's gone over him in what, 2 or is it 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Brian Daniel is, the face of the week, both in the wrestling world and in real life.
I love it. Mine is Edge, mostly for what you were talking about, Keith. Not only did he win the Rumble, but making those appearances, building up all three shows of the week, it was a simple choice for me.
Yeah, I was with Edge as well. I thought that, and I've talked about this somewhat about the acting classes, that Edge is, I would be hard pressed to find a better promo than him currently on the roster, who's not, out of, who's actively wrestling. I think that he is just so good, and he did such a good job of putting over McIntyre and Reigns and Balor without, very subtly. I thought that it was, without doing it very obviously. If you want to see somebody put somebody over with which in what is kind of an unsubtle way, watch that Hogan main event thing where like they build it up and then he's like, well, I want to talk to you about Edge, brother. It's like, okay, clearly this is discussed in production. Yeah, Hulk Hogan and Subtle will never go together in the same. But yeah, I thought that Edge just like putting people over, and I think that he has a great natural narrative. And I'm happy to, I mentioned earlier is that I'm happy to see Adam Copeland, not to sound like too much of a mark, but I'm happy to see him get an opportunity. 10 years, I think it was to the day, since he won the last Royal Rumble in 2011.
It was. And I was just told that night two is also the 10-year mark for Mania.
Oof. Maybe WWE jerks off of that kind of stuff. If they want to have him beat McIntyre, I mean, that's kind of a. Unless they want to. I mean, the other thing that they could do is have him go into that match as a face and then turn heel the next night, which I would also be excited for.
I don't know. Pretty exciting though. Just absolutely love what where they're gonna go. It's just like you. I don't know who it's gonna be because honestly, I just can't see that. I can't see Roman Reigns losing the Universal Championship right now. I just can't. I could be absolutely wrong.
I mean, the only thing I would say is, depending on who it is, and I think Edge would be the kind of person that you could explain it. Reigns' character, I would love to see him like really angry. And I mean, we've sort of seen it. Can you imagine if he lost the title? Because I mean, we saw how he felt so disrespected Friday just for Edge not showing up. And it really was, it was a new level or wrinkle to Reigns that I hadn't really seen yet. And his behavior and his acting and stuff that, I mean, he's throwing 106 right now. So I almost feel like that in some ways it could almost even help the character.
Well, one thing that I could see is if he were to lose the title, if they did a triple threat involving Bryan and Rollins, where either Rollins or Bryan beat each other. And so Roman's like, I never lost the title. And basically have something where, whoever wins be like, no, nah, I'm going to defend it against the guy that I pinned. And so you have Roman just fuming.
Nice, nice. So, heel of the week. I was having a tough time with heel of the week. The Roman Reigns heel of the week.
Well, I mean, the real heel of the week was Roman Reigns.
I mean, and and that's why it's the Roman Reigns heel of the week. And it got me thinking for just a quick moment, if I may. Maybe I'm starting to take this too seriously, where I don't want to just keep giving the same generic answers, and I wanted to give something thoughtful for our listeners to listen to. So, a lot of times, you know, there'll be times that I have a hard time finding maybe my promo because I want to find something or someone that really kind of stands out. And unfortunately, this week, in terms of heels outside of Roman, it was hard other than just seeing the work that the Inner Circle was doing with themselves. Just everything that had happened, the story that they were telling with that horrible battle royal, at least their infighting is still going nice and strong. I swear Sammy Guevara is probably going to be out of the Inner Circle before spring, because it seems like that's one of the things that it's exploding up towards to me. And as I'm looking across the board, it's nice to see that we actually have an all AEW category here. Sammy, who you got?
I have Kenta. I thought that jumping Moxley from behind, having arguably the biggest, most impactful moment of the week.
Huge splash.
It was a huge deal, and I thought that it was a nice little heelish moment. I thought that was it. And I thought that his, like, I'm not here to help Kenny Omega. I'm not here for anything. I'm here to kick John Moxley's ass. Like, I thought that was, like, I know that Kenny's a heel, but I do kind of appreciate when heels, like, there's this idea that heels and faces should be friends just because they're the same alignment. And I kind of like that he was just like, nope, you suck too.
If it was real life, heels would hate each other because they're all egotistical maniacs, right? Like, it's like, they would obviously not like the faces, but they'd hate the heels even more because, like, no, I'm the best.
I did like the way Kenny did just kind of concede the moment of like, oh, I'm just going to be over here.
My heel of the week, I was going to say Cassidy and Chuck Taylor, because honestly, their behavior was as heel as what anybody did. But I'm going to go ahead and give it to Tony Khan and AEW for putting a fucking wedding on a TV program with how awful they've been. And you're supposed to be new and interesting. Like, the minute this whole storyline's been booked, I was disappointed because of Miro, and we're still here. Like,
you called it, bro.
I'm frustrated. Like, I really am, both with their booking of some of the people on there. I mean, it just, to me, I don't understand why they get a lot of the pass that WWE doesn't, because don't get me wrong, there is stuff going on in AEW right now that is very interesting. Some of the matches are fantastic, but there's a lot of it, even on a 2-hour show, that's awful. And it's like, this was a prime example. You built this up for months. For what?
I mean, can I take the dissenting opinion here? That
sure,
I
really, yeah, go right ahead.
I really enjoyed it, and I actually thought that Miro's knowing, like,
two things were funny. That I give you that.
And I thought that it was kind of cool that James Mitchell, the Sinister Minister, was the minister of the wedding. I thought that it could have been a lot worse.
Supposed to be better than that, though. They've said they're better than that. They should be doing better than it wasn't as bad as it was supposed to be. It's a bad idea. Miro is the biggest signing they've had since they did their original, like, their original group that came in. And this is what they've spent months on with them, is a wedding and being a best man.
And video games. Which I'm fine with the video game part,
what
Miro.
What the fuck, man? Like,
don't break me for that. But you're right, man. I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, I was watching that. It wasn't well put together. It didn't give us anything new, no new wrinkles. I mean, Orange Cassidy out of the cake they set it up with the fact that you thought that Orange was going to be in the box, and, you know,
I mean, how many weddings have we seen? Honestly, it's like none of them are great. Like,
do not slander the Macho and Miss Elizabeth's wedding.
Okay, SummerSlam, you're right. But that, what I'm talking about, normally they're just on TV, not pay-per-views. Like, I'm talking about, like, Raws and stuff. The Triple H Stephanie was horrible. Remember when he drugged her and
Drugged her and took her to
that was, Edge. I actually was going to say that that was the, sorry, Edge. That was the Test Stephanie wedding, and I actually thought that that was the last one that kind of worked because we remember it. I would argue that the Kane Lita one that Edge broke up, or the Kane the Edge Lita one that Kane broke up, but I think it says something. How many of these do we actually remember?
I don't remember that one, and I was watching wrestling at that point.
I remember. I think it was Daniel Bryan.
I remember that one with AJ Lee and The Rock. That was great, actually. That was a good one.
Where he ends up getting sent to the mental institution. Yep. Yeah, that was so like there, but there are a few, you know, they've done a lot of them. And we remember maybe half of them.
And again, my bigger problem, I mean, again, I don't want weddings on any program, but again, it's just Miro. Like, this guy's a star. Like, I mean, just I have no faith, and I have no more faith in AEW when a guy comes over to their promotion than I do in WWE when a star comes up from NXT. And if you say that you do, you're an idiot, because look at the track record that they have right now. Look at the people that have been stars. It's Cody Rhodes, it's Kenny Omega, it's the Young Bucks, it's FT, you know what I mean? It's these other guys that, you know,
and a terrible build with Darby Allin.
Yeah, the land of opportunity. No, it's not.
I mean, Moxley.
He was champion the minute he came in there. He was, again, one of the guys that came in. He was their big name. Like, he was one of those big – that's what I'm talking about. There's 8 to 10 guys just like every other wrestling promotion that are the stars, and everybody else is just everybody else. Right? I mean, it was
yeah,
Omega.
No, I mean, I cannot
Moxley,
disagree with you.
It was the Young Bucks. I mean, look at the guys, Cody
The
Rhodes.
Only different one we have, like I said, was Darby Allin currently. Yeah.
And I guess if you want to say Hangman, but he was technically one of the big guys, right? The original kind of group when they brought it in too.
Absolutely was.
I told you guys, I'm cranky. I haven't got a lot of sleep. I know. This is a different Keith.
That's okay. I'm not disagreeing with you here. So why don't you go on to the match of the week, Chief?
There was actually several that were really good this week. The main event.
AEW.
No,
I'm joking.
No, go ahead. Come on, Sam. Let's get fired up. The main event of AEW is one that I was very close to picking. I thought it was a great match before Kenta interrupted. Obviously, the women's match between Britt Baker, I really enjoyed. NXT's main event was great. The tag team match between Undisputed and Thatcher and Ciampa. I mean, there was a lot of good matches. It's just, if you're asking my favorite, it was Big E, Sami Zayn, and Apollo Crews. It's great to see a match like this with three guys that I know Big E is on the rise. But it just shows off all three guys' skill sets, what they can do, their characters. And it feels like Apollo Crews is finally getting some direction. And that's what he needs, is like personality and direction. We all know he's got talent. But it just, to me, I feel a heel turn coming, like a serious heel turn where he's actually got the, you know, the kind of heel he wants to be. Sami Zayn is just... I mean, you want to talk about a mid-carder who is just playing their role perfectly right now. I love the conspiracy theorist stuff. I love that he's got the cameras following. I love that he keeps kind of sort of getting screwed in a lot of these situations, to where it's like, it's both bullshit what he's saying, but it's also like, well, he does kind of have a point. And just Big E, I mean, pencil man, WrestleMania 38, he's winning one of the two belts. Like, you know, I think we've been saying it for a few months, but it's official now. Like, the train is rolling, and he's too talented and too good. Nothing's going to stop him. Like, my only question is he going to get it before then, which is possible? Do they have the patience to wait to WrestleMania 38? But, I mean, especially if Reigns is going to be that guy, and they want to make a long run with him, that's what you do. You let Reigns hold it all the way to 38, and you let Big E beat him. And, I mean, it'd be a real moment. But sorry, I was long-winded.
No, that's okay. I was just, I was literally only agreeing with you there with the Big E.
And Apollo Crews, like, they were great. Good for Big E. I hope he has a long IC title reign. And just SmackDown has had one really good match, I swear, for like the last 2 months on everyone. This week we got two, because I'm not even mentioning the Bryan Cesaro, which was short, but it was also great.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of them. I almost went with that one as well. Actually, that was the first one that really stuck out to me, but I'm going to go with the main event of AEW. The one thing that was actually interesting to me was until the Kenta arrival, John Moxley was kind of like an afterthought for this match, or is it just me? Because it was really Pac and Rey Fénix holding it down in terms of offense and the action and the spots, and Moxley just kind of was there to be there until Kenta arrived. But
I thought that was like the idea was
that's what I was, yeah, kind of
yeah, it's okay, so we're gonna
make the surprise even bigger and stuff. Yeah. And
so, but yeah, but they just put on a knockout performance. And like you said, Keith, there was a upside of this week is that there was a ton of candidates. Sammy, who was yours?
Mine was the Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match. And we have been begging AEW to do something like this, which was that you had a big time, high quality women's match to show, hey, this is important to our show. And these are two great characters, and they're going to have an important match and a good match, and we're going to showcase
and it. And they gave them time, which was the other big
thing. Yeah, I very much appreciated that. That was a really great match. And it just, I'm not certain about who these women that are coming over from Japan for this number one contenders match, but if we're going to keep getting an influx of good talent like they're using with, you know, the ladies from NWA, Thunder Rosa, I'm all for it.
So who's the swearer, Sam? Who's this girl that I've seen has been tweeting and stuff? She's on the card next week. And
was that you who had said we have to censor her?
Wasn't that you, Sam? I thought I saw you comment.
Or is that Jason Gilmartin?
Maybe it was Jason. We'll head up after that later. Okay. If nobody knows, we don't need to go into that.
Because I'm like standing here blank face, like I have no clue.
What? You're like, smoke another one, Keith.
All right. So promo of the week. Mine was a sentimental favorite, was just seeing the New Day. And apparently I don't remember where I saw it or heard it, that they didn't actually clear their uniform, but they just rolled with it with their tribute to Brody Lee. And I thought that was absolutely beautiful. You know, they had interrupted Sami Zayn or whatever, but just the fact that they got the show off and, you know, represent for Brody Lee, I thought that was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I really appreciate that WWE has allowed them to stay like friends. You know, too often you would see them go on other shows and the story would like, they would, whatever, they're not close anymore. We're not even acknowledge it. So I really do appreciate that they were. And I know that there's a lot of money involved there from the merchandise, but. A
lot of money. No, I'm serious. New Day's like, I think, been in the top three for like the last 5 years for merchandise sales. I mean, they got cereals, you know, t-shirts. Which I agree with you. I mean, hopefully it's that way, but I just know in WWE, it's probably more that they don't want to lose the opportunity to sell those t-shirts.
I mean, New Day rocks. My promo was Edge on Monday Night Raw. I think that one thing that I really appreciated about it was that it laid the seeds for a heel turn where he was talking to Drew and he's like, I'm not your friend. You shouldn't.
Well, it was stupid of him to say that. And I was glad that Edge called him out on that. Like, I'm a threat. Like, what are you doing? You don't need to be, you know, talking about how much you admire me. Like, I am a threat in this ring with you right now. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, and if Edge is like, hey, I'm going to have to go back and be the old me, I'm going to have to be the Rated R superstar. Great.
You I think this on yourself.
Yeah.
That was mine too for that reason, but I just also Reigns on Friday,
amazing
dude is just, I mean, I know at some point I'm probably just in like total Mark territory, but I've always been a big Reigns fan and a big Reigns believer, and I thought he was held down because of, you know, the scripts that they were giving him and the fact they made him a boring face when he was much more interesting as a tweener or a heel, but I had no idea he had this kind of skill on the mic, like none. And he is like, his expressions, the way he takes breaths, the way he got flustered was what was so impressive on Friday to me when Edge didn't come out there. You know, he started kind of stuttering his words a little bit, and it's in the words of Sam, he's had to have taken an acting class here recently because, I mean, it's just unbelievable the difference.
And the way he interacted with Paul and Jay and told them the script, like everything you're talking about, like there, you're absolutely right. A ton of added wrinkles in there.
He's been incredible. And that's the main reason that, you know, I really want to see, you know, Edge Reigns is because I think the promos would be incredible. I don't know if that's the best use of both of those guys. And I agree with what I heard on the Masked Man podcast that this is not a knock at Edge. Please don't take it that way. He's not necessarily the biggest star out there for Reigns. And that may be what they're trying to do right now is they may be trying to lock down a Cena or they may try to be locked down a Rock. You know, like they're probably still working on that, like literally as we speak. And that may have something to do with why we don't know where Edge is going right now.
I don't think that I don't think it's possible to get a Rock or a Cena. I don't think that
Cena's been on 3 out of the last 4 Manias.
He has, but with
I've heard he's going to be working during that time.
He said that. Come on. Cena is the worst liar in the world.
I didn't know.
He said there was no way he could do it. To me, that is ding, 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 ding. He's going to be at WrestleMania.
So I could see him doing something remotely, but he's filming in Canada. Cena is not yet a star in Hollywood. Now, The Rock could definitely, if The Rock's working on something, he could say, yeah, we're going to stop for, you know, but going to doing any sort of buildup in person means that Cena is going to have to stop filming for roughly 2 weeks so that he can quarantine before he can go back into Canada, if they'll let him back in. So I think that any other year, I would agree with you, but based on, I think that, and this is what I was going to say, I think that Cena is not yet a big enough star to have the clout to
be. Why would he say that, though, at a press release when they have control over the questions that are asked? And I don't believe a good publicist would allow you to ask a question where a wrestler can poo-poo on a WrestleMania thing because it's not good for WWE or for him.
I actually think for the WWE, you don't want to be in a position where people are buying the show expecting Cena to be there and then disappointed. I could see Cena doing some sort of tape thing in Canada. You know, if they wanted to do something, but it is less of the issue of him wrestling at Mania and more of the issue of him appearing on the show. I think that. And then it is way more expensive to insure. The cost of having Cena in your production goes up exponentially because not only are you insuring him as somebody who is doing something that could physically hurt him very badly. Remember that The Rock was filming Hercules when he, you know, that was a lot of money that was cost. Insurance can really hurt a actor, especially Cena, who's starting out, hurt them in terms of getting work.
But they still put the belt on The Rock and had him in the next year of Mania. So, I mean.
No. The one where he had the belt was where he got hurt. He hasn't wrestled since.
He got hurt in the first one, too.
Oh, really?
Torus pectoral in the first match.
Torus pectoral.
Oh, wow. Huh, I didn't know that. I thought there was only the second one where he'd gotten hurt. But that
he gets hurt basically in every match he fights. And he's too big.
I mean, that. You said it, not me. You're right. But I think that
he's like movie star big now and not like actually can do like stuff big. Yeah.
He is big so that he looks good and can run for a 30 second shot.
Exactly.
He is not big in terms of like an hour match like he was in WWE. But yeah, I have a hard time believing either of those guys come back just because, like I said, the cost of insurance, the cost of and with COVID. I could now, if this were next year or 2 years ago, I'd be with you.
I've heard though that, and again, this is from the Masked Man, and this guy used to work on WWE now, but the guy that comes on a good bit with David Shoemaker, he said that basically there's a ton of high ups in WWE that would just flat out admit last year's Mania was a bust. And they knew that it was bad circumstance and stuff, but the whole reason they wanted to not have it. You know, and the whatever you call it, the Thunderdome, They wanted to go back to the stadiums because this was going to be a big deal. This Mania was going to be big. And whether they have 5,000 fans, 15,000 fans, whatever, they want to make it a big deal. And I do think that there's something big coming, because there's a reason they have not put in stone, and you haven't heard in stone, any of these main events, like any of them. Like, I mean, most years this has already been not only reported, it's been kind of hinted at on TV, and it just doesn't feel like they've done any of that. And to me, that makes me feel like that they're still planning.
They could still be trying. I mean,
and that's what I mean.
But I don't think ultimately.
And they just signed a $1 billion deal. So if you think they're worried about money.
I don't think that the issue is WWE. I think the WWE would throw money at whoever. I think the issue is that Cena and The Rock, Cena is not yet established enough to say, I'm going to go do 2 months of television or a month of television. See, guys, we're giving up 6 weeks of production. 6 weeks of production on a lot of movies is the production schedule.
Well, see, my thing with The Rock is I don't know how long we can keep this tribal chief thing going. And, you know, I know everybody wants to say, let's do it in LA or whatever, but, you know, The Rock's not getting any younger. He'll be getting more injury prone a couple of years down the line. We just spoke about getting injured at a couple of WrestleManias coming back from Hollywood. I'm hoping that they can manage to get to at least this part of the end of the story and to continue the dominance of the tribal chief. And then, you know, maybe we can move on somewhere else thereafter. So looks like we've gotten to the end of the program, guys. Is there anything?
The most contentious Chief Keith podcast ever. Screw you, Sam.
I absolutely love it, though. And, you know, honestly, I don't think you were all that ornery, quite honestly.
I mean, just for me,
Keith is the guy that has Care Bear DNA. So
exactly. What does RC call me? The fairy. God, now I forget. It's an old movie, like fairy or something. I forgot what it is. It like spreads happiness and joy is what he told me. I'm like, I'm really not that nice, RC. I mean, I appreciate it, but.
Oh man, I wish I could remember or recall what he's talking about. But guys, we're going to get out of here. Is there anything you want to plug?
No, just the podcast network, the IB Sports Podcast Networks, where you can find this podcast. You can find the NBA podcast. You can find the Mod Pod podcast. You still have a few hours to listen to me and Alan and Joe Matz doing a Super Bowl props podcast, as well as the very end, me and Joe give picks, which is technically the last weekly daily fantasy football podcast for, you know, until next football season, which is kind of sad. The IB Sports Facebook, Instagram, Twitter page. Please, if you're listening to this podcast, whether it be on Spotify, Anchor, iTunes, go give us 5 stars. Write a nice review. Like, please, it really does help us grow our audience because that's how they come up in searches and things like that. And then finally, John Stewart, the real John Stewart, is on Twitter. Go follow.
Sammy.
I would just going to plug the IBN Network, the All-Star. I think that it's worth $5 a month, keeps you safe.
Get your money back if you're even a beginning gambler.
Yeah, that's really it. So that's what I'm gonna plug.
Once again, I'm going to I know I plugged them recently, but I'm gonna replug the Asylum Wrestling Store. I just got a chance to meet Lex Luger earlier today. I've got a couple of autographs coming in. Those guys are doing just amazing work. They've got a great lineup coming up, including Dustin Rhodes. They got Ricky Steamboat. They got Bret Hart coming up. Go check them out on Facebook, Instagram, the Asylum Wrestling Store. As always, official Ronald Tinsley. That's myself on Instagram, harvestcreditors.com. If you have any problems on your credit report, you're just trying to get it higher, get at me. If you do mention the Team Turnbuckle podcast, you can save $100 on starting your services, including the ability to write your living will, trust, and power of attorney. One last thing, rest in peace to my boy Malik Garland. I love you. And with that, this has been another episode of the Team Turnbuckle podcast on the IB Network podcast feed. Thank you so much, guys, for your support. For Chief Keith, Sammy the Shooter, this has been Ravishing Ronell, and we will see you guys soon.
See you guys.